Real College Podcast is presented by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund and is a production of Radio K.
It's Real College Podcast. I'm Patrick Sharkey. We could all use a good laugh these days. Things have been a bit melancholy. Maybe you'll agree, maybe you won't. So we here at Real College Podcast thought we'd do what we could to bring a smile and a chuckle to your day. Here's Jacob Kwalczyk with more.
What is your go-to joke?
What does a nosy pepper do?
What?
Get jalapeno business.
How do you stop a rhino from charging?
How?
Take away his credit card.
What did the sapling say when it grew up? Geometry.
I was wondering why the baseball was getting closer and closer. And then it hit me.
What's a ghost's favorite food?
What?
Blueberries.
What did the ocean say to the sand?
What?
Nothing, it just waved.
A co-worker's horse almost died. Thank goodness the horse is now in stable condition.
Why didn't the skeleton cross the road?
Why?
He didn't have the guts.
What do you call a dog that's good at magic?
What?
A labracadabrador.
What did the duck wear to the wedding?
What?
A duxedo.
What is your go-to joke?
My life.
As an improv comedian, you have the daunting task of trying to make a room full of people laugh, armed with only your wits. There's no preparation beforehand. You don't pre-write any jokes like a stand-up comedian would. The moment they step on the stage, their job becomes trying to find the humor in an everyday situation and make sure that every line gets a laugh. A task that requires both a lot of practice and a very comedy-centric mindset. Our brand new producer, Alex Schumacher, has the story.
When I met with Nick Saxton, a member of the long-form improv team Soulbrick, I asked him to start with the basics and give me a picture of what exactly long-form improv is.
It's a form of improvised comedy. Kind of the difference between short-form and long-form is short-form is a lot more of games, where it'll be kind of quick setup, whereas long-form be more a full scene, and then off of that scene you do another scene, and then all of a sudden there's like a story emerging, and then you make like a whole 20-minute set.
To get a sense of how one even practices doing a 20-minute improvised scene, on Tuesday evening in a cramped classroom in the basement of Ford Hall, I sat in on one of Soulbrick's practices. Nick wasn't there that night, but Andrew Friedman and Alyssa Oakman, the team's two coaches, and six of Soulbrick's other members were there. They began practice with warm-ups, centered around the team members singing about the actions of an imaginary child named Fred Schneider.
Fred Schneider, what are you doing?
The warm-up mixed creativity and energy, and half the fun was just watching the team members try to think of strange scenarios to put Fred into. As the practice moved along, the team did an exercise meant to push them out of their comfort zone. The exercise was called New Choice. Two team members would go up and begin a scene based off a suggestion. Then, at any point, one of the coaches would yell, New Choice, and the actors in the scene would have to go back and make New Choice within the scene. Bianca and Jenny, two members, went up and began a truly bizarre scene centered around baby food and Jenny trying to get her ears pierced.
Wait.
Yeah, you have to eat it.
That's protocol.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Delicious, right?
That tasted a little suspicious.
That was excellent. May I please have some more?
It was the type of scene that worked so well in the moment. It was bizarre but endearing, but recorded, it loses a little bit of its charm. When I talked to Nick about practices and performances, I asked him if he ever uses improv scenes as a way for him to try to make sense of the world.
Certainly something I do where I'll be thinking a lot about something or I'll have read some articles about something, and obviously we live in a time where there's a lot more going on. It's on your mind all the time and you're thinking about like, oh man, maybe, you know, I won't be on my parents' healthcare plan until I'm 26, or maybe I won't have healthcare, like I won't be able to afford it because, you know, improvising is not a moneymaker. Then all of a sudden in a scene you'll just kind of pour something out of that and you'll be like, oh, where did that come from?
I asked Nick how he uses humor outside of improv. and how that humor affects his life.
I think that I definitely look for the joke in too many things, and sometimes that makes me emotionally inarticulate. So everybody who's listening, that really got a window to my soul.
Later at practice, I asked the members of the troupe the same thing. How do you use humor in your life? For Taylor, it was one of the ways she tries to cope with the strangeness of the world.
I use humor to feel better about how ridiculous things are in life. When I realize how, like, stupid a thing is, then I'm like, well, that's funny, but also stupid, but mostly funny. And then I feel better.
For Bianca, humor was a way to critique the world around her.
I use comedy as a way to escape some of the harsh realities of life, but also to make light of those realities.
For Kezia, improv helped her come to terms with mistakes in her own life.
I think overall, being on this team has helped me get more comfortable with mistakes, because, like, when you're out there and you make a mistake, there's no rewind, you can't erase, and it's on a stage in front of everybody. And so it's helped me, like, learn how to use those mistakes to make something good.
Back with Nick, I asked him about the pros and cons of living such a humor-centered life.
I'll get, like, a really bad score on a test, and I'll think of something funny about it, or, you know, I'll be in a relationship with someone and I won't be able to see what's happening clearly, and then because I'm too busy making a joke about what's actually happening, or try and have a serious conversation with someone, I'll just kind of derail it because it's so funny that we're having this conversation. In one sense, it could just be making the joke about the thing and distracting you, and then you can come back refreshed and be like ready to really tackle the issue. And then there's also the idea where it's like, you could be making a joke about something, but in the process of making a joke about it, pointing out there's a fundamental problem here. And that's really funny, but it's also a fundamental problem that needs to be addressed.
From Real College Podcast, I'm Alex Schumacher.
No comedy episode would be complete without looking into the world of stand-up comedy. And we were able to convince one of our producers, Jacob Maldonado Medina, to step out of her comfort zone in the name of journalism and give stand-up comedy a try. We didn't send her in blind. She interviewed some comedians around the area to learn more about what sort of prep goes into a stand-up set. And then she went, and she performed her very first stand-up set. Here's Jacob with that story.
When the idea of a comedy show came up, I jokingly brought up trying stand-up comedy myself. People in the room sort of latched on to the idea. I didn't think it was that great of an idea, but everybody else seemed to think so. I agreed to do it on the condition that somebody else would be doing it with me. Sydney, the programming director, suggested Monica, who's our training director, because she's done stand-up comedy before.
Two summers ago, I was watching a lot of stand-up. Grace Thomas, who does a bunch of different comedy stuff, did this open mic, and they still do it on Tuesdays at the Republic, or not at the Republic, what's the other one on West Bank? Acadia. It's Acadia. They have an open mic every day, or every Tuesday at Acadia, and I would go do it all the time and see people do awesome stuff. Sometimes they would tank, sometimes they would do really good, and I saw so many acts that I thought, hey, I can try it out, and I did it a couple of times, and it was really fun, but just because of school and life got in the way, so I just sort of took a break.
I felt better knowing that Monica had done this before. She had these words of encouragement.
But we'll see how this goes, you know? I mean, I feel like if we tank, we'll tank together, so it should be fine.
But beyond Monica, I felt like I needed to talk to people who have done this as more than just a hobby. That's when a friend of mine told me about Raina May and Shelley Paul. They run a show called Pussy Control, which is once a month at the Comedy Corner Underground. The show features only female comedians, comedians of colors, or LGBTQA+ comedians. Going into my first open mic, I knew I was going to be nervous, so I asked Raina and Shelley about their first experience with comedy.
What do you remember most from your first time really doing comedy?
Paralyzing fear, thinking I was going to faint, hoping that I had it memorized. I was like in paralyzed fear for like 2 days before. I stayed home from work one day so I could practice. So I could practice all day and get it right and make sure it was memorized, and then like just chain smoked and drank coffee. So I was really ready to go
go to the bathroom, more like right. It, right?
I was nervous too. I
the like week before I did my first open mic, I went camping with my friends and I made them all like set up their chairs like an audience and did my little 3-minute set. And I crushed for my friends. Yeah. So I was like, but I was still really nervous with that. I went to, my first open mic was Grumpy's, not too far from here, right? Yeah. Around Washington. And I remember I was really nervous. I showed up super early. I had like a couple of my friends there for moral support. But then I watched like the first 3 people and I was like, never mind. I'm not nervous anymore. I got this. It'll be okay.
Knowing that even Raina and Shelly got nervous their first time made me feel a little bit better about how nervous I was. I then picked their brain for tips on what to do for my first time at an open mic.
Tons of cigarettes and coffee. Take a day off work. Smoking. I don't know. I mean, you got to make sure you like are writing out jokes or at least like have an idea of how you're going to say it in your head. Because the second you get on stage, your like nerves take over and you probably like I used to forget just the whole punchline, the whole everything if I got nervous. So just like practice enough that the next word is going to come to you no matter what. And, you know, take the mic out of the mic stand and put the mic stand not in front of you. Go watch some open mics first. Especially if you're in Minneapolis, read the open mic list. Mike Brody has a list of open mics on his website. If you know anyone that does comedy, ask them which are the good mics that they should start out at. Everyone wants to start at Acme, but
don't start at Acme.
Don't start at Acme.
It's going to give you an illusion of something that isn't real.
Plus, you won't get up for another year.
Yeah.
So
you got to go other places.
Yeah. Try all the other
places as you can.
Yeah. Try all the other mics first and get a handle on how you sound, and then go to Acme.
One of the things I was really stuck on was how to present myself on stage. How close to my true self should I be?
Are you nervous?
Yeah, I am. I feel like it's a similar thing to, like, in high school I did theater. And, like, theater was fine because you're a character. And then I did open mics, like, singing with friends. Mm-hmm. And that was terrifying because that was me. That was, like, me on stage. And so, like, I think that if I'm going to do this, I have to kind of pretend I'm being a character. Like,
yeah.
Comedian Jaka, as opposed to just, like, normal Jaka. Because I think that if I just try to be me on stage and be funny, I'm going to, like, poop myself. Like, I don't know how I would react to that.
That makes sense.
That's a good way to do it. I mean, like,
fake it until you make it.
That's how I kind of did it first.
Yeah,
I mean,
too.
I wasn't necessarily doing a character, but it was like not just me conversationally. There was definitely like an extra wall of like,
yeah,
something.
Yeah, a wall to keep you safe. That's what my therapist said to me too. She's like, I watched your video, because she asked me permission, and then she's like, I watched your video and it seems like you're being a character. Do you think that's because you're afraid to be vulnerable? And I was like, God, I should have never let you watch that. Yeah, don't, you're not supposed to show weakness. That's what they say. But I'm like, then you're also supposed to show vulnerability.
Right,
so
that's kind of my whole
difference
thing, you know. It's kind of my whole deal.
Yeah.
Weakness.
I'm super weak and vulnerable, except now.
Once my interviews with Raina and Shelly were done, it was time to get down to business and try to write some jokes.
And let's just try and like see if we can start writing any sets. Do you have like any idea for any jokes that you're gonna say thus far?
I have some, but they're really raunchy. I'm not sure how, like, I don't know. We'll see.
I, like, don't even.
I think I want to, like, just change the whole set and figure out something new.
I don't even know, like, what I want to do.
When all the prep was done, it was only a matter of waiting for the big night to come. As we got closer and closer to that night, it started to hit me that I was going to be standing up in front of a bunch of people and telling a story in an attempt to make them laugh. And that was terrifying to me. Day of the open mic, I tried my hardest not to think about where I was going to be that night. I tried not to imagine standing up on that stage of Comedy Corner Underground and having people looking up at me with the expectation that I was going to be funny. It's about half an hour before the show's going to start, and I'm standing outside of the corner bar waiting for the set list to go up. Jacob Kowalczyk, a producer for the podcast, is there with me, and he pulls out the recorder.
All right, Jacob, we are half an hour before your stand-up. How are you feeling?
I'm really, really nervous, obviously. I like have my set ready. I practice it in front of my friends and they laugh, but like I'm assuming they laughed because they're my friends, not because it was funny. I don't know. I'm really nervous that it's just going to be like non-responses and I'm going to get more uncomfortable as the 3 minutes go on. So I think I'll just cut it short if it goes really badly. But yeah.
You've got 3 minutes of material. Come on. Like, how bad can it be?
As you can probably tell, I was terrified. Everything was real. I was going to be entering this bar and standing up on a stage to tell jokes to strangers. I wanted nothing more than to turn around and leave, but I also wanted to prove to myself more than anybody that I could do it. So, with an air of false confidence, I walked in there and sat in the green room with people who were far more experienced than me and seemingly more calm. Then, after 7 or 8 performers, it was my turn.
Which is not old, but I spend a lot of time reminiscing on what version of me is worse, either me right now or me in elementary school, and I'm going to tell you that they're pretty freaking close. So me right now is terrible in her own like special way.
As I was up there, the light was blinding, but that kind of worked in my favor because I couldn't see anybody in the crowd. Most likely to be an artist. My voice was shaking, but I just kept talking. I could hear people laughing in the crowd, and I'm sure they could probably see the look of surprise after the first time anybody laughed. Before I really knew what had happened, my set was over. I hadn't fainted, I didn't run off stage, I didn't even forget my jokes. I successfully did stand-up comedy at an open mic. And despite all the nerves and the prep, I actually enjoyed myself. For Real College Podcast, I'm Jacob Aldonado Medina.
Real College Podcast is produced by Jacob Kowalczyk, Jacob Aldonado Medina, Emily Allen, Liv Riggins, and Alex Schumacher. The show is edited by me, Patrick Sharkey. Radio K's Real College Podcast airs every Monday night at 6:30 on RadioK.org, and old episodes can be heard there as well. Plus, be sure to subscribe to the show wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Patrick Sharkey. Thanks for listening.
that never ends. I've been chasing heartache in a city and a friend. I've been with you so long, even seen you lose it, but who cares? Does it take you long?